Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside me, Steve Harmison, looking back at all the action from day two of the third test match between England and India at Headingley, where you-know-who scored another you-know-what. You're listening to Following On. Okay, well, if you're listening to the podcast, then you no doubt know by now that England advanced their lead over India. Starting the day 120 without loss, they finished it at 423 for 8. Instead of leading by 42, they now lead by 345 runs. And the mainstay of their innings, once again, Joe Root with a century. Number 3 for the series, 6 for the year, 23 for a career. Just brilliant. Brilliant stuff from him. Chanceless innings right up until the end. 121 top score with Darwin Milan. Second on that list, 70 from him. Burns and Hamid didn't really kick on today, but they both finished in the 60s. 29 for Bairstow. But boy, oh boy, where would England be without their captain, Joe Root? India, well, they kept plugging away, in fairness to them. But this game, it appears, has gone. Okay, let's get on with things here on the Following On podcast.
Story of the day.
Okay, Steve Harmison, let's go through the day. I'm not going to ask you to wax lyrical about Joe Root because we've heard you many times talk about him. We know where you rank him in the pantheon of greats. He's up there. Well, it's the very best that you ever played alongside in terms of batting. But let's look at the day. It started off a little bit slowly, actually. Burns on his birthday was out for 61. Hamid, let's talk about Hamid, actually, because it's interesting. He started down 60, and with 20 minutes to go before the break, he'd only added 8. His attacking stroke play, according to CricViz, went from 11% to 7%. I'm not saying there's anything of concern here, but, you know, 28 balls without scoring, they didn't allow him to cut the ball. Which is what they did allow him to do on day one. They tightened up. They bowled very, very straight at him. It's just, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's something to worry about. I'm just saying it's something that interested me watching him. He never at any stage looked flustered. He didn't look like the pressure was getting to him. He looked like he could quite happily just sit there all day. But still, 8 runs in an hour and a half. What was going through your mind when you were watching?
Yeah, I thought the pressure that India put on him was probably the only time that India put pressure on any of the batsmen throughout the day. Whether they've worked out a new plan or they've had a look at footage and thinking this is how to go with Hamid, then yeah, fair play to India for that. And it's something that Haseem Hamid is going to have to look at throughout from a career point of view, that every time he gets to a certain point, because of the footage and the technology and everything that goes around in the world, there are going to be passages in his career, what he's going to overcome. Now, he overcome something you know, catastrophic. That nearly ended his career when he had his time at Lancashire and not. Now he's going to come through a passage where people are going to learn how to bowl at him if he gets a run in the side. So he gets 10 test matches, so we shall we see. You'd hope that by the time he's gone from his first test match to his 10th test match, he has worked out to play the test match cricket a lot better, because teams will find him out. They'll bowl it a certain way. They'll feel as though that's his weakness. They'll put pressure on him that way, and then they'll eventually get him out. And that cycle will go throughout his whole career. Now, we are maybe just seeing that very, very early, that India have found some way to bowl at him, not give him the short ball to cut, try and, you know, bowl dot balls at him. He doesn't seem to... He struggles a little bit to find where his off stump is. But like you said, he doesn't get flustered. So for me, no, I'm quite happy that the boy's done very, very well. I'll chuck something else in there, John. Yesterday, he's worked so hard because of what happened on his debut, not on his debut, in the first test match. He has worked so hard, concentration, everything that goes with it, to get him in a position to come back again today. And sometimes little mental tiredness comes into it when you are concentrating for so long that you do forget to do things. You do, you know, struggle at times. And I think you might be having a lapse in concentration, and all of a sudden you put yourself under pressure and then you eventually get out. That's the difference between the good and the great. The good and the great, the good survive and the great just thrive on things like that. And that's where the young man is at this moment in time. But I'm really pleased that he's got his half century. He's justified going back up to the top of the order. And he's now given a little bit of hope to England supporters that we can not only get off to a good start, we can get a good solid start to give the likes of Root and the powerhouse behind us a chance to make a score of in excess of 400. Because today we got 300 runs in a day. And I thought we were magnificent all day.
Let's talk about David Malan, because, you know, to good length balls, I saw he's got quite a poor record, according to Crickviz. But you can see why, as a back-footed player, naturally, you can see why he would be suited to Australian conditions. That's, of course, the last time he hit a 50 for England, Sydney, the SCG in 2018. Two tests before that, he'd scored that century at Perth, or three tests before that. But also on the front foot, he was very comfortable on the drive. He was beaten. He got off the mark with a four, cover drive four. He was then beaten on the inside, attempting another cover drive, but he didn't put the shot away. He continued trying to play it. And it was somewhat of a surprise when he was out, caught down the leg side. But I thought the tempo that he brought to the innings brought some relief, actually, because alongside Root, the two really took the game way beyond India, it seemed at that stage. You know, when he was out, first the ball before lunch, 298 for two at that stage. And the main reason for that was because Malan and Root were both very, very fast in terms of their scoring.
Yeah, they were very proactive at the crease. The rotation of strike was good. There was a couple of little chances from a run-out point of view. But you look back the way Joe wants to bat, and Joe bats better when he bats at a good tempo. He bats when he's rotating strike, when he's dropping it and running. Bats well were best though in the middle period, because their ability to know each other, you know, inside out, and, you know, rotate, hit boundaries when the ball's there to be hit. I thought Malan drove the ball nicely. I thought again, India, both sides of the wicket, left and right hand combination, they just didn't have a clue where to bowl at off stump to either left or right, which gave England a great chance to get, you know, left, you know, the rotation going, and then all of a sudden they got a few cut shots away. But I was really impressed by the way David Malan drove the ball. When it was overpitched, he wasn't leaning back. He was in control. Some people say he's tall and he doesn't get over his front foot. He's never done that. He's always driven from a sort of a man of stature, a man of, you know, his head's always been sort of quite, looks as though he's leaning back, but he's not. He's quite tall when he's making a point of contact. The thing that I liked about it was why we picked him. For me, it had to be his experience, you know, his temperament. He played and missed a couple of times. He didn't really let the pressure get to him. He didn't let the occasion get to him. He was batting with Joe Root. Didn't let that fluster him, because it could have, a younger player could have been a little bit flustered. I blocked a few balls. Oh no, Joe Root's on strike. He's desperate to get down here. Well, I need to hit a big shot. All of a sudden, Nick out. See you later. Under pressure even more. So for me, I thought it was a perfect combination. It was a little bit one deer batting without being reckless. It was just middle overs, old fashioned one deer batting, turning things over, waiting for the bad ball, putting it away. I was really impressed and happy about the way David Milan played. And I thought they complemented each other very, very well in the middle period of that first session.
Yeah, it was the ball before tea, not the ball before lunch. First time in 8 years since the top four for England scored 50s. You'll never guess who one of those batsmen who scored a 50.
I've seen it. Big Stephen Finn. Yeah. Good on him. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. So then after the tea break, England were 298 for three. And Johnny came out, played as you'd expect from Johnny. And then just a little bit of a collapse, four wickets for 33. Well, not really a collapse. But Butler, again, maybe I'm just imagining things. It just, even today, he just didn't quite look, he just doesn't seem to enjoy batting in Test cricket. I don't know if I'm just imagining things, but I just never get the impression that he enjoys being out there.
I know what you mean, yeah. And I feel the same. I feel the same that in a way that when I look at Joss in the middle, I look at a supreme, an unbelievable talented cricketer. Kept brilliantly yesterday, took five good catches early on. And then I thought, you know what? This might be perfect for Joss to sort of just light the blue touch paper for the rest of the series and really go and put a marker down against some tired Indian bowlers. Go and smash, even if it was 40 off 30 balls, and go and just, you know, run the game into a place where, you know, the likes of Curran and Overton and Robinson can have a bit of fun. It just seems that in one day cricket, Joss Butler has such a clarity of thought, clarity of game plan. You know, get off strike, first couple, get me eye in, bang, bosh, see you later. Let's get going. It just seems that he struggles to find a tempo. That's all I can say. I just feel as though he struggles to find a tempo of what way he wants to bat or needs to bat or how to bat. I thought it was a perfect situation for him. And to be fair, he got one on leg stump. You'd expect him to put away, and he's hit it straight to the fielder. How's your luck, Joss? So 9 times out of 10 in a one-day game, that would have gone extra set past square leg. But the tentativeness and movement when it comes to test match, when he's got whites on, he's probably just held onto it just that little bit more. And he's managed not to get over the top of it. And he's found Ishant Sharma just short of square leg. So again, it's not a disappointment. It's not a disappointment. I don't think Joss Butler's going anywhere anytime soon. I don't see the England selectors dropping him. I think he's so valuable to this unit. I think he's so valuable to Joe. Ideally, you want him to get more runs because he batted at six. But there is a road bump down the line when it comes to the Ashes, because I think personal reasons could come into where Joss Butler's test career goes from there. But that would be his choice at this minute in time. Even though he didn't get any runs today, I don't think there's any jeopardy of his players.
No, I don't either. But I do expect he's to miss the Old Trafford test. And you know what? Johnny Bairstow is going to be back behind the stumps, isn't he? That's Ollie Pope will probably come in. And then there was Root, of course. You know, he's just playing the best cricket I've ever seen him play. And that's saying something, because he played some pretty damn good cricket a few years back. You know, at one stage, Cricviz had him down as playing 90%. He played at 90% of the deliveries that were coming his way. And that's kind of, can you remember a few years back, 6-7 years ago, Joe Root kept getting out in the 80s. And I'm not talking about the conversion rate problem. I'm talking about, and the criticism at the time was he just tries to play too much. And he doesn't necessarily, he should leave a few more, and therefore, you know, play basically a more high percentage game. Well, it was chanceless again today. And credit to Bumrah, because that was an absolutely brilliant delivery with an older ball, which he managed to somehow get the kind of movement that would defeat a new batsman at the crease, not one with 100 next to his name, playing on the level Joe Root is. I thought it was an inside edge at first. I don't think it was. It went straight through as that Root was on the drive. But, you know, it was phenomenal. And he's putting the pressure back on Kohli, isn't he? 3 centuries now for Root, none for Kohli. He hasn't scored a test century in 2 years. And that's definitely going to be in his mind and going to be mentioned in the film when Cody comes out to bat tomorrow.
Oh, yes. And I think there's one 39-year-old with a red jukeball in his hand, clapping his hands at this minute in time, just to remind Virat Kohli about exactly where Joe Root stands in that Fab Four. If you go down the road of Fab Four, I think it's a Fab Five because I think Babar Azam's in there now. But when I watch Root bat, it's just... I think he's made a technical change. I've noticed something that I think it'll be interesting to know if the TV picked up on it or... You know, batsmen that have been watching him pick up on it and ask him about it later on. He's spending a little bit more time. His trigger movement is not as big as what it used to be. I think it's a little bit shorter, but it's more back foot dominant. So he's more on his way on his back foot, which makes him more balanced to come forward. And at this minute in time, that run down to third man and the shot he's getting a lot of joy from, I mean, a roundabout sort of to backward points left hand, Gully's right hand, and through sort of fifth slip, which goes for four, if there's no third man down there, it makes him easier to play that shot. It gives him more of a chance if the ball moves, so he's further away from the ball. And he's also in a position where somebody does really overpitch the ball, he can get a good stride in because his weight's on the inside of his right foot, of his back foot. And I look at that and he just seems to be in such a better place to hit the ball. There's less movement, less moving parts. There's less sort of shuffling at the crease, and I'd be interested to see if that's something that Joe has done, because having done this, it's very, very difficult to put pressure on because he's rotating the strike a lot. He's getting the ball down to third man, which is either getting him a boundary, or if they have put a third man down, he's getting rid of a catcher. So all of a sudden, they're getting out process is a little bit smaller, and you know, he can just release the pressure on a bowler that comes with it. And when you're talking about these numbers, you mentioned Virat Kohli's not scored a century for 2 years. Since Virat Kohli's last century, Joe Root scored 700s, 150 and 700s, and three of them have been double hundreds. And so when you look and talk and where they all are in the world status, I don't think there's many better players than Joe Root at this minute in time.
Well, the way you describe his shot selection there, it reminds me a little bit of Kane Williamson, who's proficient in this very similar part of the field. When you think of Kane Williamson, you think of that kind of back foot push through cover point or down through to third man. And that's the difference, I suppose, with Hamid. Just to take Hamid, I'm not digging him out at all. I thought he played really well yesterday. And, you know, he looks pretty in control of his game today. But Root doesn't need width to score. Mm. Or he doesn't need width to cut. And that's the difference. You know, he scores some piercing boundaries through point just by essentially deflecting a straight delivery. You know, he was guiding it through. Rather than playing with a straight bat down the field, he was just opening the face of the bat, getting on the back foot, on his toes, and either gliding it down to third man where there was a fielder or not, or pushing it through point. And, you know, he's either getting off strike or he's scoring a boundary. It was absolutely...
And from a bowler's point of view, it is so frustrating. It is so frustrating. I played in one day cricket, I played with one of the best opening batters that England have ever had from that point of view, and that was Marcus Truscothick. Mm. And you couldn't bowl a dot ball at Trez. Played it against Somerset loads of times. And it was, as an opening bowler, you think, oh, that's a good area, and he's getting one. And you bowl another good ball. He's getting one to every one of my good balls. And then I overpitch, I bowl a bit of short one at him, bang, four. And you're thinking, I've bowled four good balls here and I've gone for 10. And you're thinking, how what am I going to... And then the red mist comes and all of a sudden you lose focus and everything like that. And I think that's what happened to India today. I think that really what happened to India today, because what they did was they couldn't tie Root down. Because the left-hand and right-hand combination, they went a bit on, right, we've got to get Milan out. All of a sudden, Milan is in good white ball form and he's punished the overpitched or the short ball. And then all of a sudden, India just couldn't stem the tide.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Shami bowled the best of the bunch. I found there was a period of play where India were targeting Root with a short ball, but they were employing Ishant Sharma to do it. couldn't quite work that out.
Or Siraj. They tried it with
Siraj. Yeah. It was like
the fielders were nowhere near in the right place. Nowhere near in the right place. And they were costing them boundaries. Yeah. I thought Virat's decision, and it's hard. I'm not going to criticize Virat too much because he's only got 78 runs to play. So you just, whatever you do, you're just thinking, oh, well, I'm at a point. I did think, you know, India are in hope more than expectation that they're going to get a wicket. I thought he could have used Jadeja better. I thought he could have just sat Jadeja at one end, said, right, seamers, right, we're going to run down the hill or run up the hill. And we're going to have a planter bowl on one side of the wicket. The spinner's going to bowl, you know, bowl straight one day stuff. And if they want to take a risk, you know, good on them with in-out fields. But it just seemed as though the game meandered on and Virat was enjoying the day. And he just was in hope rather than expectation or trying to get back into the game.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Moment of the day.
So overnight, the sad news came through that Ted Dexter, former England captain, passed away at the age of 83. I was listening to Goffey and Mark Nicholas both spoke about him. And, you know, I learned a lot about him, actually, in the last 12 hours or so. And that's one of the brilliant things of cricket. You know, the way that the game has been covered from its invention means that you can very easily dip into the past and learn about these guys and check out scorecards and the deeds. But, you know, just for any of the listeners out there, some of the things I learned about him, you know, essentially he could have been a professional golfer. He was that good. And I know you lot, you're all off, you know, handicaps of 4, 5, 6. Some of you are scratched. But this guy was actually, you know, invited to go and play over in America, and he turned it down. In terms of power hitting, this guy, he could be playing now, essentially. It was so strong. He took on the great West Indies side, the Griffiths Hall, back in the day. He scored 70 in an hour against them in the gloom. And then when he packed up, he became a journalist. He flew his family to Australia to cover the Ashes as a journalist, stopping off along the way. He lived in France. He was born in Italy. I mean, these days, cricketers don't really have that kind of boys' own appeal to the... And that's one of the reasons why we have the 100, because we want them to. We want them to appeal to kids growing up. But this guy, he had the looks. He had the glamorous model wife. He was a pilot. He could have been a golfer. He was a cricketer for 10 years. He captained his country. He sounded like an absolute character. And, you know, I listening to Goffey. Goffey said when he used to meet him, he'd look him in the eye and think, yeah, you had a life. And for Goffey to say that, that says its own story. So, yeah, rest in peace. Ted Dexter, obviously an absolute legend of the game.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, well, looking ahead to day three, it's whether it could... I mean, I just spoke to Gareth Copley, the photographer. He's from these parts, actually. He says the game's definitely going to Saturday. And you know what? He thinks India could easily... Well, not he didn't say easily, but he quite fancies India to make England bat again. Could we... No, could we... Could we still be faced with a bit of a thriller here at Headingley? This is, remember, it's Headingley, Harvey, before you say anything.
No, it's Headingley and it's normally England. So, no, not for me. I just don't see the body language, the way India have performed in the 2 days. I just don't see it. I really don't see it. I just see India potentially having a good session, but I can only see one winner. I can see it beaten by an innings. Jimmy Anderson gets the ball in the right area for the first 10, his first 10 overs, which are likely to be in one spell or probably two spells just before lunch. Then I can only see one winner. And I think if he does get it in the right area, got to remember as well, we only need six wickets. We only need six wickets for me. They've got three number 11s. And if three number 11s come out to bat, still needing 150 to win, or 150 or 180 to make England bat again. I've been in that position before, and it's not great. It's not fun mentally, and it'll end very, very quickly for me. So I only see it going till around about 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Anderson to get four, Overton and Robinson to do the rest of the damage, with a little bit of Sam Curran picking a wicket up in the middle there when nothing's happening. That's my prediction for tomorrow.
Brilliant stuff. Well, who am I to argue with Mystic Meg? Brilliant stuff, Harmy. Well, look, if you want a little bit more, we're going to be heading over to YouTube for a live 7 for 12 Q&A, looking back at the match with, I suppose, a more Indian slant, but certainly waxing lyrical about Joe Root. So if you fancy that, check it out. Otherwise, we'll be back here on the following on podcast, following play, day three at Headingley. Who knows whether we'll be looking back at an England win or ahead to what could be a really exciting day four. Thanks for listening to Following On.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.